Begin the current daf Masechta Yuma, daf Chaf Aleph. Begin 6 lines down from the top of the Yamed, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. That is, in the previous daf, we began the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim. And however, the Mishnah told us there are different Zmanim during the year when the Kohen would do the Trumas Hadeshen. That would be separating the ash from the Mizbeach, which was burnt overnight. That is, every single day would be by Kriyas HaGever, and we explained in the previous daf what is the term Gever. On Yom Kippurim would be even earlier, would be from midnight. And on Yom Tovim, Regalim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, the Shalosh Regalim, they would do it even earlier by the end of the third of the night. And the reason was because there were so many people, so many karbonos on Yom Tovim, therefore they had to go ahead and the process of the ashes took a long time, and already by morning time, the Azar was packed with people. So continue on this theme, the Gemara says that, I'm Rabbi Yehuda Merav. When the Jewish people would come up Aliyah LaRegel, that means coming up to Yerushalayim for the Yom Tov of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, they would be standing tightly packed together. And that is, the term tzav literally means floating. Now, the reason for that is because since there were so many people and they were so packedly tight together, one against the other, you literally had no room to move one side to the other side, and you'd be standing upright like a pole. Sometimes, actually, the crowd would be so packed together that someone's feet would be elevated off the ground, so he'd be literally floating. That means, and that's how tightly packed they were. However, when they would bow down, with open space. And that is when they would bow down on full on their faces, and when they would say, when they heard the Shem Hashem, and they would do vidui, there was a miracle that happened, that the space widened until there was 4 amas between every single person. And the reason was for that, that each person should not hear the vidu, the confession of his friend, that he shouldn't be embarrassed. And therefore this miracle occurred that although they were so tightly packed together that you could be floating in the air, but when they bowed down, they did it with a space between everybody. And with the Mishachin, Achas, Esri, Amach, Chayr, Beis HaKapayas, and they extended with so many people packing the Azara that they extended into the 11 Amas that was behind the Kachar Kachim. And that is when one comes into the Azara, generally, the open area is the Mizrach, and then you have the sanctuary, the Beis HaMikdash, and that was the other end. Behind the Azara, behind the Kachar Kachim, there was an area of 11 Amos between the Kachar Kachim, the end of the Kachar Kachim wall, and the end of the western wall of the courtyard, which was an area of 11 Amos. Now, the Jewish people would fill up the area of, which was called the Makam of the Drisus Yisrael, where the Jewish people were allowed to go in the north and the south. Then they would extend, because there were so many people, on the sides, on the north and south, not taking up the space in the middle with the Kohanim were, and they would extend to the back, over there, as the Mishnah tells in Masechtas Midas, and we quoted this on Daf Tazayin and Mabez, that regarding the structure of the Azara, so they would extend it so far back, they would go around to the back, because there wasn't enough room. Now, the Gemara asks, my Kama, what exactly are we saying with the statement of Yehuda Merav? In other words, you just said that when they bowed down, they did it with so much space, and there was a miracle that happened, that they didn't make a difference, that they were so tightly packed together. So why do you say that they were standing tightly packed, then they would bow down, and they would extend all the way in the back? But if there's a miracle, why did they have to extend to the back, behind the Beis HaMikdash, when they're bowing down, if anyways it was miraculous? So on that, the Gemara says, Hachakama, no. What we were saying at the end of his phrase that the Mishach Ma'akariya Kaparis, that they extended all the way to the back behind the Kachar Kachim, is going back in the beginning of his statement. In other words, before the concept of bowing down. And what we were saying was that Afa Pishnam Shacham Achas Esri Amachari Beis HaKaparis, that although they were so tightly packed together that there was not enough room in the Azara, and that the Jewish people had to extend all the way behind the Beis HaMikdash area because they were so tightly packed. And even so, and we said, and they were even standing where they were so tight that they were floating. In spite of that, when they did bow down, they would come, everybody, even though there was no room, they would all come to the eastern part of the Mizbeach, inside the Azar of the courtyard. And they would mishtachvim, they would bow down in front of the Heichal, they would all face the sanctuary, revachim, with open space, even having dalat amas between every single person. And again, and the Gemara tells us this actually was one of the 10 miracles that happened in the Beis HaMikdash. And imagine, everyone's so tightly packed together, and suddenly when they're bowing down, and everyone even came from behind the Beis HaMikdash to come in front of the Heichal to face, and everyone had an area of 4 amos between every single person. Then I learned the Mishnah Masechtas Avos that tells us that Asar Nisim Nasa BeBeis HaMikdash, there were 10 miracles that happened in the Beis HaMikdash, and this one is one of them, as the Mishnah tells us. Lohipila Isha, a pregnant woman never miscarried because of her desire of the roasting meat that had spread its aroma in the area of the Beis HaMikdash, Mireich B'sah HaKodesh, from the aroma of the Kodshim meat that was being roasted in the Beis HaMikdash, although that can happen, that a woman will smell it and she'll have that desire, and because that could cause her to miscarry, that never happened in the Beis HaMikdash. Another miracle was, V'lohisriach B'sah HaKodesh Me'elam, the meat of the holy karbanos never got spoiled. Another miracle was that one never saw a fly in the butcher house of the courtyard of the Azara. Another miracle is, as we had mentioned before, that they did many different things to prevent the Kohen Gadol, which it can happen that he could have a seminal emission which would invalidate the Kohen Gadol. That never happened. Another miracle was that they never found an invalidating factor in the Karban Omer. Now, the Karban Omer was of a flour offering made out of barley on the second day of Pesach. That is, if there would have been an invalidating factor in that Karban Omer, there would not have been another one to bring in its place. And the reason is because they would do the Katsira, they would reap this grain on at the end of the first night of Pesach, Matzah Yom Tov Harishon. Now, they wouldn't do more Katsiras than what they needed for the measurement of one isarin of flour that was sifted through 13 different times. And therefore, had there been an invalidating factor, they would not have had a Karban Omer to sacrifice. Also, another miracle was, they never found an invalidating factor in the two breads that were brought on Shavuos, which were then brought the first grain from wheat, which they were baked from before Yom Tov Shavuos, and this baking of the Shtei Alechem was not allowed to be done on Yom Tov, and hence, had there been an invalidating factor in the Shtei Alechem, they would not have been able to bake any other ones, and again, there would not have been Shtei Alechem. And also, there was never an invalidating factor of Balechem upon them. In the showbreads, which were baked from before Shabbos, which were put on the Shulchan, there were 12 different breads. Had there been, again, an invalidating factor that they would have found on the Shtei Alechem, there would not have been any other ones to exchange with them, and the table, the Shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash, would have been empty until the coming week. And therefore, it was a great miracle that there was never an invalidating factor because they would not have been able to complete these avodas. Another miracle, and the reason why we brought in this Mishnah, was Eidnim Tzvu from Mishtachim Revachim, that although they stood tightly packed together, however, when they bowed down, they did it with space. Another miracle is V'lohizik Nochash V'akrav B'Yerushalayim Me'olam. A snake and a scorpion never harmed anyone in Jerusalem. And finally, V'lohomar Adam L'chaveri Tzar Li HaMakim Sh'olam B'Yerushalayim. No one ever told his friend, you know, the place where I'm staying, both the food and the quarters, very tight, very narrow. And no one ever said that in Yerushalayim. And again, that was a miracle because of the great amounts of people that there actually was. But now the Gemara asks in that Mishnah, so we brought in to highlight this nest that there was, that there would be Oymen Tzvuchim Shtachim Revachim, but Pasach B'Mikdash V'Sayim B'Yerushalayim. If one analyzes the Mishnah we just quoted, it starts with saying there were 10 miracles in the Beis HaMikdash, but yet the last two things it counts were not in the actual Beis HaMikdash, it was in Yerushalayim, both in regards to the snake and the scorpion not harming anyone, and in regards to one's quarters and one's food. So that the Gemara answers that Ika Tarti Achri Niyasa B'Mikdash. Truthfully be told, there were two other miracles which were in the Beis HaMikdash proper and not also in Yerushalayim, and that would round out the number 10. The time like learned the Braisim, Me'olam Lekibu Gesham. The rain never extinguished the Eish Shel Atzei HaMeracha, the fire that was from the wood on the pyre. That was there was a special fire that was on the base of, on the top of the Mizbeach, which is where they would burn the different Ivarim and the Pedarim. Although it could have rained on and on, that never extinguished that fire. And another miracle was Vashan HaMeracha, and the smoke of that Maracha, Afil Kala Ruchi Sheba Oilam, Bois Omenasharas Boy, even if all the winds of the world came and were blowing at it, it did not move it from its place. It went straight up. That's a great miracle too. So those were two miracles that were specifically in the Beis HaMikdash, which, although the last two that were counted in Novus are in Yerushalayim, these two which round out the number 10 that was specifically in the Beis HaMikdash. But then the Gemara asks, Basulaka, is it really true there were only 10 miracles in the Beis HaMikdash? But Ratani Rav Shemaya B'Kalnavoy, Kalnavoy is the name of a place that he taught this in Kalnavoy, he said that Shivri Kli Cheres, the broken pieces of the pottery vessels, and that is the kachim, the most sanctified karbonis, were cooked in klicheres, in earthenware vessels. Now, when one cooks in something, there's something called blias, that taste gets absorbed into the vessel. Now, you can't get that out of kli cheres, out of earthenware. It always remains there. And therefore, it can't be kashered. So therefore, the taste that's inside from the kachin has the halachic status of neister, of what's left over. Any carbon that's left over at its designated time becomes aser. Hence, one had to break every single kli cheres that was cooked in kachim, as the pasuk says in Vayikra, v'kli cheres asher tevushal b'yishaver, that the earthenware vessels that was cooked in it, it has to be broken, because it becomes nicer inside the vessel, because you can't kasher it. So now, the breaking had to be done in the holy place, it had to be done in the Beis HaMikdash, as the Gemara tells in Masechta Zvachim, the Tzadik Gimel Beis. Now, that, he says, the miracle was, nevloin mimkayma. They would be absorbed into the ground in their place. And that is because had they not been absorbed in the ground, you would have had piles and piles of broken pieces of pottery in the courtyard, which would have been proper, because they had to do it in the courtyard, because it had to have been done in the broken in the holy place. So therefore, that was a miracle that happened, that they got absorbed literally in the ground by themselves, in the ground. Vamabaya, and similarly Abaya says, Mura Venaitza, the crop and the feathers of an oila sa'if, which is an oila carbon that's brought as a bird, and v'dishin mezbeach apnimi, and the ashes of the inner mezbeach, that inside the heichel, v'dishin ha-menorah, and the ashes that were taken out of the menorah, and that is because every single morning, together with the trumas hadeshin that we said that was taken off from the top of the mezbeach, a shovelful, they were all put on the eastern part of the ramp, as it says in the Mishnah Masechtas Tamid, that they would come to the ground and they would face northernward and they would go on the eastern part of the ramp, 10 amas, which was the place where they would put this mura and the noitza and the dishin mizbeach apnimi and the menaira. As the pasuk says, similarly regarding the crop and the feathers, it says the same thing, that behishlach oisa itzal mizbeach kedma, that they would put it on the eastern part of the mizbeach, amakayim adesh, in the same place where the trumas adesh was, that they were also nevloim b'kayim. They also got absorbed in their place. So therefore, we see that at least two more miracles that we have, that both the earthenware shattered earthenware vessels, the pottery shards, they got absorbed in their place. It just, the ground simply swallowed them up. And same thing regarding the ashes of the in the mizbeach and the crop and the feathers and of the menorah, they also just got absorbed in their place. That's a miracle that doesn't usually happen, that the ground swallows things up. So that the Gemara answers, psulei tlasahava. When we counted before the 10 items that were miracles in the Beis HaMikdash, there were 3 invalidations of karbanos, which were the psul and the karban oimer, psul and shteha lechem, psul and lechem upon them, which those are 3 miracles that they never happened. Now, chashvinu b'chad, you should count those as one, because essentially that's the same miracle, that in the karbanos we never had an invalidating factor that would have made it impossible to fulfill that mitzvah. So therefore, apik trev ayal trev. So you take away 2 from the number 10, because those 3 are really 1. And then you bring in 2 more, which are these nivloin bimkaiman. You have the nivlois bimkaiman of the klicheres, the broken shards. And you have the nivloin bimkaiman of all these other items of the crop, the feathers, the ashes of the inner mizbeach, and of the menorah. But then the Gemara asked, if we're categorizing and making it into each one that's a category as 1, sihachi b'luin nami trihavu. That means the swallowing of the ground that are 2, which are again of the broken klicheres, which is 1, and the mur benoitz and all those other things that are put on the side of the kevesh as 1 also. So then chashvin b'chad, we should also consider them as 1, and hence chasulhu, but then we're missing from the 10, because now we only have 9. So then the Gemara says, no, ikinami achriti. No, there's another miracle that will round out the number to 10. Damar b'shu ben Levi, nes gadol haya nasa b'lechem apan. There was a great miracle that happened with the lechem apan, the 12 showbreads that were on the shulchan from Shabbos to Shabbos, and that is silukai kisidure. It was taken off as it was organized, as it was put on. And that is, when it was taken off, it was the same hot as when it was just baked, as it was just put on to the shulchan a week later on Shabbos. Shneim, like it says the pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, says, Losum lechem choyim b'yayim alakhay, to place hot bread on the shulchan as the day that it's taken. And that is, that it was the same warmth as it was put on. And this pasuk is in reference to lechem upon them, as it's quoted there in Sefer Shmuel. So that would round out, again, the number to 10. So yes, Nevloin Mukaiman, those two are really 1. The 3 psulim in the Lechem upon them, the Shtei Lechem and the Yomer, those are also 1. And therefore, that rounds out the number to the 10. But then the Gemara continues asking, for Sulek, is it really true there were no more miracles in the Beis HaMikdash? Only 10? But Vamer Blevi, Dabaz Emesarius Biyadenim Aviseinu, this is a tradition in our hands from our fathers, that Mokam Orin Einim in Amidah, the area of the ark in the Kachikachim didn't take up any space. And what that means is, as there's a brayse that tells us that the Aron that Moshe made was 10 amas. That is, it had 10 amas on either side of the Aron to the wall that was on either side, because it was put in the middle of the Beis HaKapores, of the Kachi Kachi. So now, the difficulty with that is, by saying that the Aron of Moshe Rabbeinu had 10 amas on either side of it, from where it was to the wall, but the whole space of the Kachi Kachi was only 20 amas by 20 amas. As the Pasuk says in Melachim Aleph, that Lefnei HaDvir, in other words, in the area of the Kachi Kachi, it was 20 amas in the length and 20 amas in the width. So how can you say that whichever direction you went from the Aron that Moshe Rabbeinu made, no matter how small it was, you had 10 amas from where it was to the wall? But again, that would mean that it took up no space because it was only 20 by 20. So if you're saying that's 10 amas here, 10 amas here, so where was the actual Aron itself? And now we have a tradition that the Aron, miraculously, didn't take up any physical space inside the Kachi Kachi. And another miracle, V'amar Abnai, Amar Shmuel, says, Keruvim b'nes hoya imdin. We know that the Keruvim, those were the childlike figures that were by the Aron, they stood in a miracle. And what that means is that Shlomo HaMelech made his own Keruvim that were standing on the ground near the Aron, one on the north and one on the south. And it says in the Pasuk, Upekanfeim, that with their wings that these childlike figures had, were 20 amas spread out from one wall to the other wall. As the Pasuk says, that each wing was 5 amas, so 5 times 4, because each one has 2 wings. So it comes out that the wings themselves took up from north to south the entire area, the space of the Kachi Kachim. So it comes out that the body of the Keruvim, these childlike figures, took up no space because the wings themselves, which were extending from the sides of them, were by themselves 20 amas. So again, that's another miracle, that the Keruvim themselves didn't take up space, the Aron didn't take up space. So how can we say there's only 10 miracles if there were more miracles? So on that, the Gemara answers that Nisi Divaroi, miracles that were on the outside, and that is outside in the courtyard, which were miracles that were obvious to everyone, that everyone's able to see, Kachashav, that's what we counted when we're talking about the 10 miracles in the Beis HaMikdash. Nisi Digavoi, like Kachashav, however, miracles that were on the inside that nobody saw, that we didn't count. That there's more than 10. But then the Gemara asked, if that's the criteria, Ihachi, Lechem Aponim Nami, then the Lechem Aponim also, Nisi Digavoihu, that was also an inside miracle. We said that one of the 10 miracles was that Siluka Kisiduroi, was that it was taken off the same hat as it was put on. But no one saw that because the Shulchan's inside the sanctuary. So that's also an inner miracle. So why are we counting that as one of the 10? And then the Gemara says no, because Lechem Aponim Nisi Divroihu. The truth be told is that the Lechem Aponim, that miracle was a miracle on the outside. Now, how so? No one was able to go besides the Kohanim inside the sanctuary. So, because the Amar Rish Lakish, like Rish Lakish said, he said, "Mind yourself, what does it mean when it says in the Pasuk of Yikra, Al Hashulchan Atar, talks about that you should put the Lechem upon him on the pure table." Now, Tahar, it's saying that it should be pure, Mechlal Shu Tameh, that sounds like that it could become Tameh, that is, that the Shulchan could be Mekabel Tameh, it could contract Tumah. But on that, the question was, and we continue to Amid Beis, but kli eitz ha'osu lenachasu, the table, the shulchan, is a vessel made out of wood that's made to be stationary, which means it's not meant to be moved. It was always in the same place. And now we know the halacha is v'chol kli eitz ha'osu lenachas, any wooden vessel that's made to stay stationary in the mekabel tumah, that does not contract tumah, and to the contrary, v'chaitzis mifnei tumah, it actually interposes in the face of tumah. And that is because we know that a wooden vessel regarding the halachas of tumah are equated and compared to the halachas of a sackcloth, as the pasuk in Vayikra Perek Yud Aleph says, "Mikol kli eitz oy beged oy sack." So it's comparing a wooden vessel together with these other ones, including a sackcloth, to say just like a sackcloth, it's an item that's carried both when it's empty and full. So too, a wooden vessel is only going to become mekabel tumah if it's carried empty and full. In contrast to kli eitz ha'osu lenachas, to be stationary, where that's not meant to be moved, and hence it's not mekabel tumah like a sackcloth would be. Now Rashi says, although the table was plated with gold, and therefore that should be mekabel tumah, but on that Rashi says, as the Gemara says at the end of Masechtas Chagiga, that the gold is bottled, that the plating is bottled to the table itself, because the table calls it eitz. The Torah calls the shulchan a shulchan of eitz, and hence we see that the primary factor of it is wooden, and therefore the gold is bottled to it, and therefore the question was, how can we call it Shulchan HaTorah as if it could be Mekabel Tumah if it's in Halachas of Tumah it's not Mekabel Tumah? So Ella, rather, that's what he says, coming to teach you, Melamed, that it could be Mekabel Tuma. How so? If it's stationary, it's never moved. Because it is moved. They would elevate it, they would actually pick up the Shulchan to those, when the Yidden would come up, regular, when they would come up 3 times a year to the Beis HaMikdash, and they would show them outside, they would pick it up so everyone could see outside, hence it's an outer miracle. And they would say to them, Ru'uchi Baschem Lefnei HaMakom, look how beloved you are in front of Hashem. Shesiluki Kisiduri, look at the miracles that he makes. That it's taken off the same way it was put on. Like it says the Pasuk in Shmuel Lav that we quoted before, to place warm bread on the day that it's taken off. And therefore, it's counted from the 10 because it actually was an outer miracle because they showed it and that's how the table was able to be Mekabel Tuma because it was moved. But now the Gemara continues to ask, Vesulaka, but again, is it really true there was only 10 miracles? But Va'amar Rabbi Ishiya says, B'shosh Shabon Shleim HaBeis HaMikdash, at the time when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, not by komini megodim shalzav, he planted fruit trees made out of gold. And actually had fruits that would come out in this proper time, just like a regular tree. Uksharuach menasheves behenoshin, when the wind would blow on the tree, so then it would fall off. Shneim, like it says the pasuk in Tehillim, yirash kalavonon pirye, that its fruit should rustle like those of Lavonon. And that is the fruits of the Jewish people should be like the fruits of Levanon, which are reference to the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore we see that Levanon, again, which is the Beis HaMikdash, had fruits. Now what does it mean that Yirash, when there's a rustling, it means when the wind would blow and they would bang one on the other, so then there would be that noise and the fruits would fall off. Ukeshenichnesu nachum lahechal, however, when the Gentiles entered in the sanctuary, which means when they would destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and then Yavish, so then they dried up. Shnemek, it says, Apostle in Nachum, Uferach Levanon Umlal, that the blossom of Levanon, they were devastated. However, Vasar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lahachziron, however, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ultimately return it. Shnemek, it says, Apostle in Yeshaya, Peroyach Tifrach Vesogel, that blossom, it will surely blossom and rejoice. Avgila Zvran, that will also be rejoicing and glad song. That kavod halavana nitala, that the honor of Levana will be given to her, and that is because this blossoming of the golden tree will be returned. However, one thing we see, which this was outside, it wasn't inside, and there was another miracle in the Beis HaMikdash. So why wasn't that counted? So the Gemara answers, nisi de kevi loika chashav, permanent nisim, that of a nest that was always there in its place, that wasn't counted. Only things that were at different times, every Shabbos, but not things that were constantly there, like the golden tree, that there were many more miracles. We're talking about things that were at specific times. That the Gemara says, based on that, hashtos lahachi, now that we came to this criteria, since the Aron Kruvim Nami, then the question we had from the Aron Kruvim is also not a difficulty, because nisi dekvinin, we don't have to say it was only because they were in a miracle, but rather because they were a constant miracle. And that's why they weren't part of the counting of the 10 miracles in the Beis HaMikdash. Now that the Gemara resolved all the questions and we came to the final answer that yes, there are 10 miracles in the Beis HaMikdash, and those only were that were not constant, that were in Kavua, and only those things that were on the outside. Now, Amamad, the Gemara quotes that one of the items that were mentioned in the Mishnah Masechtas Abbas was Va'ashan HaMaracha, that the smoke of the pyre, which is the fire on the Mizbech, which is where they burn, the Evarim, or Pedarim, the different parts of the animals. So on that we said that the wind wasn't able to move it from where it was, no matter how much wind was blowing. But first, the Gemara asks on this: Umi hava ashan b'maracha? Was there any smoke in the first place by the maracha to say that it wasn't blown here and there? But Ratanu learned in a braisa that says chamisha devarim nemru be'ish shal maracha. There were 5 different characteristics that were said regarding the fire of the maracha. One of them is revutzakari. It was crouching like a lion. That is, there was a flame that in the days of Shlomo HaMelech fell from Shemayim, from heaven. And that stayed on the Mizbech up until the days of Menashe, and then it was removed. And that flame had the form of a lion, of a crouching lion. That was one characteristic. Ubar kechama, it was as light as the sun. V'yesh b'mamish, and there was actually substance to the flame itself. V'ycheles lachen kiyevation, and it consumed things that were moist, as things that were dry, which although generally fire only consumes things that are dry. And finally, v'ein amal ashen, and it did not have any smoke coming out of it. So therefore, how can we say that ashen, the smoke of the maracha, wasn't swayed when there was no smoke in the first place? Well, I think my answer is, ki kamrina, when did we say that regarding the smoke that came out of the maracha, that it wasn't swayed, That was Bedehedyet. That was regarding the fire that the commoners, that the people, the Kahanim, would bring to the Mizbeach. Not in reference to the fire that came from heaven. The time, like, Lina Brysam. So the pasuk says in Mayikra, "V'nasnu bnei Aharon Hakoyin Eishal Mizbeach," that the sons of Aharon Hakoyin should put the fire on the Mizbeach, that comes to teach you, even though fire comes down from the heaven, it's still a mitzvah to bring from the commoners, from the people themselves. And therefore, yes, the fire from Shemayim, which was a revutz ikari, that had no smoke. However, this that we said, that this, one of the miracles was that the smoke of the maracha was not swayed, that was the fire that we brought. And that fire had smoke, but that wasn't swayed in any direction. Now the Gemara asks on that brayso that we just quoted, we said that revutz ikari, that this fire that came from Shemayim was crouching like a lion. And that the Gemara asked, but Vatanya learned the brayso that says, Amr b'chanina skana kahanim, ani resia, I saw the fire. I saw that v'revutza kakelev, and it was crouching like a dog. So how could we say that it was crouching like a lion? I think Moses like, it's not a difficulty. Because Khan, b'mikdash rishon, that first brayso was talking about in the first base of Mikdash, then it was crouching like a lion. Khan, what Reb Chanina Skana Kahanim saw, was B'mikdash Sheni. That was in times of the second Beis HaMikdash. Then the fire had the form of a crouching dog, not of a lion. Now the Gemara asks, B'mikdash Sheni mihavya? In other words, so we resolved the contradiction regarding this crouching fire. If it was like a lion, like a dog, then in the second Beis HaMikdash it was like a dog, and the first one was like a lion. But the Gemara asks, was it even true that in the second Beis HaMikdash that they even had this fire from Shemayim? That to say that it was crouching like a dog? But V'amar Rav Shmuel Bar Inya Ma'idich Siv. What does it mean in the pasuk Nechagai when it says Ve'erzaboy, I will be pleased with it. Ve'ichavden, I will be honored. Now V'kirinan Ve'ichavde. We read that word in the pasuk as if it says Ve'ichavde, like we just said that, and I'll be honored. However, Ma'ishna Demechusa Hey. Why is it missing a Hey? It doesn't sound like the word Ve'ichavde. It's only with a Hey that it'll be Ve'ichavde. But if that's the word, I'll be honored. Why is it missing a hay? And this nevuah of Chagai was in reference to the times of the second Beis HaMikdash. That the Gemara says, Elu chamisha dvarim shehayu bein mikdash rishon lemikdash sheni. That's the missing hay, which the numerical value of 5, is referring to the although I'll be honored in the second Beis HaMikdash, but there will be 5 items missing that will be different in the second Beis HaMikdash than the first Beis HaMikdash. Be'elu hayna, what are the 5 things? So you have Orin v'kaporis ukruvim, you have the ark, the ark cover and the kruvim, which are on top of the ark, which are all considered as one item. You have the esh, you have the fire of the mizbech that came down from Shemayim that was there by the first Beis HaMikdash, not by the second one. The shechinah and the divine presence. The ruach hakodesh and the divine spirit, that of prophecy. The urim v'tumim, and which were the names of Hashem that were placed inside of the cheshen, the breastplate that the Kohen Gadol wore, was not there during the times of the second Beis HaMikdash. That's why it was missing a hay in V'kavda, in regards to the 5 that were missing. But one of the 5s that were missing, that was said, that was not there during the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, was the fire of the Mizbeach. So how can we say that the fire in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, that's when it was crouching like a dog, but in the first one was like a lion, but it didn't have the fire in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash. So that the Gemara says, Ami, they said that no, in. It, there was the fire in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash. And that was the fire that was crouching like a dog. So, mi avahava, it was there, however, siyu lemisayeya. However, it did not help. It didn't burn anything. So that's what we mean to say that it was not, the ish wasn't there, not that it wasn't there, but it wasn't helpful. And therefore, yes, it was crouching like a dog, but it wasn't, that's one of the 5 things that were missing in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash. So related to this, that of the fire of the Mizbeach, the Gemara brings Tarnabon and learn the Braisa. Sheish Isha is saying, there are 6 types of fires. Yesh Eicheles Vein Eshaisa, there's a fire that eats but doesn't drink. V'yesh Sheisa Vein Eicheles, there's a fire that drinks but doesn't eat. V'yesh Eicheles Vein Eshaisa, there's a fire that eats and drinks. V'yesh Eicheles Lachan Ki Yevashin, there's a fire that eats things that are moist like things that are dry. V'yesh Eish Teich Eish, and there's a fire that pushes away a fire. V'yesh Eish Eicheles Eish, and there's a fire that consumes a fire. And the Gemara explains. The first item, Yesh Eish Eicheles Ve'ein Eshaisa, there's a fire that eats but doesn't drink. Hadidan, that's a reference to our regular fires, and that is because although fire will consume things that are solids, however, when it comes to liquids like water, it will extinguish the fire. So it means to say that it eats but it doesn't drink. The fire that drinks but doesn't eat, that's the chaylin. That's of people that are sick from their fever, which is like a fire, then they're thirsty for water, but they don't want to eat. So that fire is a fire, that fever is that wants to drink, but doesn't want to eat. A cheles v'shoisa, a fire that eats and drinks. That's a reference to Eliyahu. That was from the fire by the miracle of Eliyahu with the Nevi'ah HaBaal. The Chesed, like it says, the Pasuk in Malachim Aleph, says, Ve'es hamayim asher bata'ala, that the water that was in the trench, licheche, it got licked. In other words, the fire did, which was not usual, it not only burnt, in other words, solids like eating, but it even burnt liquids like drinking. Eicheles lachen kivation, you have a fire that consumes moist things, like dry things. That was the Maracha, as we had mentioned before, that of the fire on top of the Mizbeach, which even things that were moist, it consumed. Yesh esh doiche esh, is a fire that pushes away a fire, which means say that where it is, the fire pushes away from its area outside of it. That's a reference to Gavriel. That's a reference to the fire of the Malach Gavriel, who he came down to save Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah that were in the fire, that he cooled down the oven from the inside. However, he pushed the fire to the outside, and outside the oven was heated up, and it burnt those who threw them into the fire. As the Gemara tells us in Arvei Pesachim, Daf Kof Yud Chesam and Aleph. And finally, V'yesh Eish Echeles Eish. There's a fire that consumes a fire. That's a reference to Shechina. That's the fire of the Divine Presence. Dama Mar, as the Master says, which is a Gemara in Sanhedrin, on Daf Lamed Chesam Abeis, where it says that there were groups of Malachim, when Hashem was deciding to create the world, that said in front of him, Mo'anish Kisiskerna, who is man that you're going to remember him? Why create man? So it says that Hashem, it's boy b'neim b'sarfen. Hashem, so to speak, stuck his finger amongst these fiery angels, and he burnt them. So you have a fire that consumes, that burns a fire. Now the Gemara said in the Braisa before that one of the things that we said to conclude the amount of the 10 items was that were miracles in the Beis Hamikdash was Vashan Hamarocha, and that the smoke of the Marocha, of the fire on the Mizbeach, that even all the worlds, the winds of the world would try to push the smoke, it wouldn't be able to budge it from its spot. And that the Gemara asks, but he said that after the last day of the Yom Tov of Sukkot, that is Matzah Shmini Atzeres, which is essentially like what we, if in Chutz La'aretz is a Matzah Simchas Torah, that is on the day before, in other words, on Shmini Atzeres, was the Gzar Din, when they would make the decree in Shemayim regarding the rains of the year, as the Mishnah says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, that B'chag, on the Yom Tov of Sukkot, is when there's the judgment on the Mayim, on the rain. That's why we have Tfilas Geshem. So after the end of the Yom Tov, after the judgment for the rain of the year, for the Mayim, was decided, so right after Yom Tov, Hakol Tzayfin La'ashan HaMarocha, everyone would look at the smoke, at the pillar of smoke from the Marocha, and they wanted to see which direction it was going, because they wanted to see what the din was, what's going to be the coming year. And that is, Neite Klapei Tzafen, if they saw that this pillar of smoke from the Marocha was facing towards the north, which means to say essentially that there is a southern wind blowing, so therefore it's going towards the north, Anim Smechem, Ubalabatim Atzeven, then the poor people would rejoice, and the wealthy landowners, they would be saddened. And the reason is, that means because now that there's the southern wind, that means there's going to be a lot of rain this year. And that means that their produce that they have and their storehouses are going to rot. Hence, they can't hold on to it because of the humidity that's going to be. Therefore, they would open up their storehouses and sell for cheap because they can't hold on to it. It's going to get ruined anyway. So they're sad because they're losing their profits. But the poor people are happy because now this everything is cheap. Not the klabi darim, if the pillar would be facing, it would be blowing towards the south. So then the poor people would be sad, and the landowners would rejoice. Because now there would be very little rain that year. And therefore, they don't want the poor to lose out, but their produce will stay because there will be no humidity, there will be much less humidity, and hence it won't rot. It will last inside, and therefore they won't have to sell for cheap. Not the klapi mizrach. If the pillar was blowing towards the east, hakol smechem, then everyone would rejoice. And that's because that means there's a western wind blowing, which the western wind is a perfect wind in the sense that it brings the right amount of rain that's necessary, but not so much that it'll cause so much humidity that the produce will rot, and therefore, although their grain, the crop will grow well, however, and it will not cause the produce inside their storehouses to rot. So therefore, there's not going to be a hunger because there's going to be a lot of produce, but they won't have to sell cheap. And therefore, everyone's happy. Klapi Ma'ariv, if the wind was blowing towards the west, Hakol Atzeven, everyone was sad. And the reason is because the eastern wind is a wind that dries up all the seeds that are growing, as the Gemara tells him, Masechtas Gittin, and therefore everyone was sad because there's not going to be a good crop that year. Now, the end of this is basically is that we see that there are winds that blew the Ashan Hamarocha in different directions, and depending on the direction, who would be happy, who would be sad, but it blew it in different directions. How can we say that the Ashan Hamarocha did not move from its place from all the winds of the world, and that's a miracle that happened in the Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara answers, D'azlo v'asik dikli. It went back and forth like a palm tree, and that's how they were able to tell which way it's going. However, Avduri lo have mevad, but it didn't disperse. In other words, you didn't have the wind blowing it. So that's definitely miraculous in nature that it wasn't blown away no matter what type of winds came. However, they were still able to tell which way it's leaning to know which winds are blowing, and therefore that would be the simanim for them. That would be an omen for them what the year is going to be like, and therefore to decide who's going to be happy and who's going to be sad. Now, however, the Gemara ends off by saying, Omamar, one of the things we said that we just quoted in this brisa was that Klape Mizrach HaKol Smechin, if they saw the pillar of smoke, again, that was just leaning a little bit, but if it was leaning towards the east, then everyone was happy. Klape Ma'ariv HaKol Atzeven, but if it went towards the west, everyone was sad because the eastern wind would dry up everything and the crop wouldn't grow well. And that's the Gemara has remained, but there's a contradiction from another brisa, which seems to say the reverse. It says, Mizrachis lo'olam yafa, the eastern wind is always good, Ma'aravis lo'olam kasha, the western wind is always bad. Which that right away contradicts that first brisa, which made it sound like in the reverse. Then the brisa continues, it says, Rech tzafaynis, a northern wind, depends. Yafa l'chitin, it's good for wheat, b'shar shavir shlish, as long as it grew a third of the crop already. However, it's harmful for olives, bismach and chitin, when they're still blossoming. Ruach deraimis, a southern wind, kosh lechitin, bishar shavishlish, that's bad for wheat when it grew at least a third. V'yafalazesim, bismach and chitin, however, it's good for olives at the time that's blossoming, so it's the opposites. And v'amar Rav Yisrael said, and v'itim, as some say, Marzutra said, v'simonech, and mnemonic to remember this, that which one is good for the olives and bad for the wheat, and which one's good for the wheat and bad for the olives, is shulchan betzafen. The shulchan, the table that was inside the Beis HaMikdash, was in the northern part of the Beis HaMikdash, which is where the lechem aponim was, which is bread, which is wheat. U'menayra badarim, and the menayra, where they lit the shem and zayis, that was in the southern part, which comes to tell you that hay merabadi day, this one increases its, v'hay merabadi day, this one increases its, and that is means the northern wind, which is where the shulchan was, helps the wheat, which is what the lechem upon, which is what the lechem upon them was on the shulchan, helps it grow, which is fit for the shulchan. And the southern winds, which is in reference to the shemen, which is in the menorah, that was a southern wind is good for the shemen zayis when it's blossoming. So that's what that brisa says. However, the contradiction is, as we said, regarding the eastern wind or the eastern or the western, if that's good or bad, that seems contradictory in the two brises. One makes it sound like east is good and west is bad. One makes it sound like west is good and east is bad. So now the Gemara answers, loy kasha, it's not a difficulty because ha, the second brisa that makes it sound like that the eastern wind is good is lun, is for us in Bavel. For ha, the first brisa that says that the western wind is good because it said that when it was going towards Mizrach, Klape Mizrach, everyone was happy, which means to say there's a western wind blowing, was lahu for the people of Eretz Yisrael. And that is, the eastern wind, which makes much less rain, is good for the people in Bavel. Because Bavel was very wet land, which there was always too much water. Hence, when there was less rain, they were happier. However, in Eretz Yisrael, which it's a hard land, which is mountains and valleys, and it dries up very quickly, there it was the reverse of Bavel, and therefore, yes, depending if east is good or west is good, would depend if one is in Eretz Yisrael or if one is in Bavel. Har Nelach Sheves Yam, we shall return to you the first Perek of Masechtas Yuma, Perek Sheves Hayam.